Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Karen.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Right now it's time for The Bright Shaman with Iris. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today.
Hello and welcome. I'm Iris, Bright Shaman, and today I'm going to be talking about shamanic journeying. This is something I really love to share with my clients and students. It's an amazing process where you can get directly in touch with your own spirit guides, your own power animals, your well ancestors, even your guardian angels. It's a direct experience of spirit, and it's something that's available to all of us. Let me go into a little bit of detail about what shamanic journeying is. Shamanic journeying is the process of traveling to the realms of non-ordinary reality. And what is non-ordinary reality? Well, it's pretty much like it sounds. Ordinary reality is our everyday world. The world that you wake up in every day. The grass is green, the sky is blue, you go to work or school or go about your daily life. That's ordinary reality. Now, non-ordinary reality is the spiritual, the energetic. It's the other side of the coin of ordinary reality, and it's so close. It's interwoven with ordinary reality, and it is just like the flip side of the coin. It's not far away in another heavenly realm. It's right here, right now, all around us, and so close you can really almost touch it. So ordinary reality is what we have agreed our reality looks like, and non-ordinary reality is the spiritual version of the world. Now, in order to do this, most modern people need to sort of enter a bit of a trance state, either a light trance or a deep trance. This is because we're so used to, in our culture, ordinary reality and the way that ordinary reality works. It is required for us to sort of get into a different brain state in order to freely travel in the spiritual realms. Shamanic experience is really the common ground, almost the birthright of all humanity, because all cultures, all religions, all of our ancestors were shamanic, had shamanic experiences, believed that nature had consciousness and spirit. So when we travel to the spirit realm, when we use shamanic journeying, we're just rediscovering a part of us that has been lost. We are finding an ability to do something that we should quite naturally be able to do. So everyone, every single person that I've ever taught shamanic journeying could do it. Sometimes it takes practice. Sometimes it needs a bit of help to break down barriers in the mind, but every single person in the end could journey successfully to meet their spirit guides, to get really important guidance, information, and healing. It's an amazing process. Our right brain is the part of our brain that's actually physically hardwired to do this. The left brain is the brain part that is dealing with ordinary reality, with our experience as a separate individual, all that's useful and necessary, how to drive a car, all of that. That's very left brain. And our culture has really imbalanced our brains. Originally, our ancestors would walk in both realms simultaneously. And traditionally, our right brain is called our heart mind. Our left brain is our head mind or our brain mind. When we're doing shamanic journeying, what we're doing is opening the door to the part of the room that we've walled off in our brain, if that makes sense. It's like it's always been there, but we shut the door on it and we haven't been able to access it. So through this process of shamanic journeying, we are opening this door that we all have, and we're walking through to the spirit world. Now, shamanic journeying is something, it's a term that's been created by modern shamanism. Modern shamanism itself was more or less coined by Michael Harner, who was an anthropologist studying shamanic cultures. And as he studied them, he realized that all shamanic cultures had the same principles, had the same sort of geography of the spirit world. And he was deeply affected. In fact, he was called to be a shaman. And through his shamanic initiation, he realized that he should bring this miraculous experience of interacting with the divine to the West. And so what he did was that he formed shamanic teachings devoid of cultural trappings. And that is called core shamanism or modern shamanism. It's the shamanism that is mostly practiced in the United States, at least by non-indigenous people like myself. I personally was trained not in core shamanism, but within more traditional shamanism, but with some core shamanic elements. Now, core shamanism or modern shamanism sort of invented the term shamanic journey. And the shamanic journey is a key part of modern shamanism precisely because we don't live in a shamanic society. So we have to travel to non-ordinary reality. However, if we lived in a shamanic society, there are many shamanic societies still active today, non-ordinary reality or the spirit world would be much more closely interwoven, much more accessible in our consciousness. We would not necessarily need to sit down and go through the whole process of shamanic journeying. But in our modern lives, it's extremely helpful to do journeying in a modern way. Now, the easiest way to go on a shamanic journey is to listen to a guided meditation. These may or may not be fully journeys that take you to the spirit world. I do a lot of them, and I'm always careful to set the scene and take you on a journey to the spirit world. Another way that is very traditional is to listen to a sonic driver. This is a drum, a rattle, a didgeridoo, something that's very rhythmic, pulsing. And that rhythmic sound is seen as the drum beat that connects to the heartbeat, the heart chakra, the heart of Mother Earth. Shamanic drumming is really, really fast. It's 200 to 240 beats per second, no, per minute, producing theta brainwaves. And these brainwaves are associated with lucid dreaming, with rich internal imagery, with relaxation. So when you're listening to a sonic driver, to a shamanic drumming, it actually puts you into this theta brainwave state. Now, I've read that 10 minutes of listening to drumming produces the same level of theta brainwaves as 2 hours of transcendental meditation. I don't know if that's true, but it's pretty impressive if it is. So just 10 minutes of shamanic journeying is the same as 2 hours of transcendental meditation. There are other ways to get yourself into this shamanic trance state, which is, of course, what we're going for in order to travel to the spirit world. You can dance, swaying, shaking, repetitive movements. This is something that some modern Christians do. The Quakers and the Shakers did that as well. It's seen in indigenous cultures too. In traditional shamanic societies, a shaman often performs the journey for the community by narrating, by dancing and singing, and everyone goes on a journey together. Fasting will also break down the barriers between this world and the spirit world. Hallucinogenic plants. This is very common in places where drums and percussion instruments aren't really possible due to the climate, such as the Amazon. So the easiest way for us as modern people to access the spirit world is through shamanic drumming or a guided meditation. And when we do that, we're going to go to the spirit world, and the spirit world has 3 realms. In shamanic practice, in shamanic belief, the spirit world has 3 realms. Now, we can't really process shamanic reality, but our brains interpret it based on our own culture, our beliefs, and experiences. However, all shamanic cultures have this idea of having 3 realms, an upper, middle, and a lower world. And this is universal. For example, in the Norse Asgard, Midgard, Hell, there are 3 different realms. Each have different functions, each have different qualities and inhabitants. And you have a different awareness and a different approach for each of these places. It's sort of a learned skill, recognizing the different worlds. And you need to have a pathway to get to all of them. A place that's very personal to you. So let's talk about the upper world now. So this is the upper world. This is essentially the concept that the Christians used for heaven. It's always above us. It's light, it's bright, it's airy, it's full of beautiful colors. There's a sense of awe and majesty. There are buildings, cathedrals, temples. Some people say that churches and temples on earth are just a recreation of what can be found in the middle world. There's some technology, but not usually modern technology. It's the realm of the higher self, of master teachers, of ascended masters, of avatars like Christ, Buddha. If you're Christian, you may see angels. If you're Buddhist, you may see Buddhas. If you're secular, it may be someone like Gandhi. It is that place where the really holy ones dwell. And usually the holy ones are in human form. It's traditionally the realm of Father Sky, the sacred masculine energy, which of course, through Christianity and monotheistic religion, that was sort of changed into the idea of an absolute male god. But it's also a place of the feminine. I see it as a fusion of divine masculine and divine feminine. It is where we go, where we journey for greater wisdom, for help with transcending our ego, our own higher, for help for finding and connecting to our own higher self. It is the realm of the higher self. You can also go there for help with practical, career, financial concerns. Questions you might ask are like, how can I best? What can I do? The upper world is very particular to you, and it's not an extraterrestrial realm, so it's not a place that has aliens and spaceships. It is very much still connected to this earth, if that makes sense. Now, the lower world is below us. It's through the earth. It might be helpful to picture a tree, a great world tree. At the top of the branches, sort of in the sky, is the upper world. Down all the way through the earth, past the roots, is the lower world. And the ground around the tree is the middle world. So the lower world is below us. It's through the earth. You always have to travel through the earth to get there. It's earthy. There's dense light. The light feels different than the upper world. The upper world is very airy and bright. The lower world is very earthy, with natural surroundings. If there are any structures, they're made of natural materials. There isn't any technology. It's sort of like Stone Age or Iron Age, maybe, at the most. It is not hell. That's a distortion of true reality. So it's not evil. There's nothing bad down there. It's the realm of Mother Earth and the people. All of the people, the human people, the stone people, the standing people, which is the trees, the plant people. It's the place of the feminine. It's the place of earth wisdom, where we go to receive wisdom and healing of the plants, animals, stone people, Mother Earth. And it's also the realm of the ancestors, the well ancestors, who live in accordance with the highest vibrational energy. It's a place of connection with our own shamanic lineage, because we all have one. And it's a place to go to heal our own relationship with the earth. It's a really beautiful place to go to heal the loneliness that we feel as modern people, because I think we all feel a deep yearning in a disconnection from who we really are. So when you're journeying the upper world and the lower world, they're your own sacred realms. They're unique to you and they're part of you. They're part of the greater whole, of course. They're part of the spirit world, but this is your unique reflection, your unique container for shamanic spiritual experience. So they're safe, and they should always feel safe. If you ever see anything in the upper world or the lower world that makes you feel unsafe, you leave. You follow the path that takes you back to yourself. And we'll get into that a bit later. Now the middle world is both the physical reality that we live in and the spiritual aspect of that reality. So it's a very mixed place because bad things happen in our reality and bad things happen in the spiritual aspect of that reality. So there are nature spirits, there are fairies, but there are also ghosts and unwell spirits, predatory entities. It can be dangerous. And it's also the place of things, thousands and thousands of things, ideas, individual spirits, collective spirits. It's very, very crowded. It's not the place to travel until you're fully initiated in both worlds, both the upper world and the lower world, and you're well protected. So you really need to travel to the lower world and meet your power animal, for example, and start building a relationship with them. Travel to the upper world and meet a spirit guide, perhaps, and keep refining your practice of shamanic journeying. Because it isn't really, it can be a one-off, but it really is something that is good to practice routinely. And then you, when you really have refined your journeying practice, you can travel to the middle world. You can journey to places near you, nature. You could do something like journeying to meet the spirit of your house or journeying to meet the spirit of your city. These things are very interesting to do, but you do have to be careful. Many modern occult and New Age practices don't differentiate between the worlds, and consequently there's a lot of guidance around from middle world guides and spirits, which can be helpful but also can be limited and sometimes can be dangerous depending upon the vibration of the spirits or where they're coming from, what their agenda is. Sometimes when we try to journey, we end up there by default or it kind of bleeds in. But this is okay, just reframe your intention to be in the upper world or the lower world and leave it if it feels unsafe. So in order to journey, we have to learn to put our head mind aside, our logical thinking part, and we have to become the hollow bone, the hollow reed, just letting ourselves flow into spirit. This is a learned skill. It does take time. You have to develop shamanic seeing. That's seeing with our hearts and not with our minds. Spirits actually make contact through our heart. So in order to make contact with spirit, we have to learn to open our hearts. A shamanic state of consciousness is not like watching a TV or a movie, so the journey is not like that. It's an active experience, it's not passive. It requires the deliberate act of moving away from left-brained experiences into the right brain, from head-mind into heart-mind, and it does require vigilance and practice. Now, we all have psychic gifts. Some of us are clairvoyant, we can see images. Some of us are clairaudient, we can hear them. Maybe you're clairsentient, you can feel them. But you may not think you have any, but everyone does have psychic abilities. Often, the less developed sense in ordinary reality is stronger in non-ordinary reality. So if you're very, very visual on a daily basis, like if you work as an artist, you might not find your shamanic vision is very strong, but you might have huge amounts of sensations, physical or emotional, or maybe you can only hear things. Journeys are not, like I said, they're not a cinematic experience. They're almost like remembering a dream. Everything that you experience in the dream is important. Everything is an answer if you pose a question. Spirits use metaphor and symbols. This is a really rich language that is not skewed by words. Spirits can also talk to you. Mine are very verbal sometimes. So trust your experience. It's all about honoring your experience. Give yourself permission as well to kind of make things up. Everyone has an inner critic. You can just say to the inner critic, when it starts saying, oh my God, this is so ridiculous, okay, that's fine. But let's just keep going. Maybe we're making it up. You're telling yourself a story, and that's okay. I mean, imagination is our portal to the spirit world. The bridge between ordinary and non-ordinary reality comes through imagination. Now, journeys are often done to seek guidance on life questions. I have found this so helpful in my life. So, so helpful. And you have to ask from the heart with the intention that the information will be beneficial on all levels. I was taught to ask that any information or experience would be blessed by the divine, by the Great Spirit for the highest and best. Highest means the best quality, not the highest level. Our heart is the doorway to spirit, and trust is the foundation of everything. So, just really quickly, when you go to do a shamanic journey, get comfortable. You might lie down and cover your eyes. A good time of day would be whenever you're relaxed but alert. When you do a shamanic journey, call on guides, make protection around you. Have a really strong intention. Intention is reality. Be strong and solid in this. Be really deliberate with your language as well. Ask a question. Afterwards, you really should ask to your spirit guides, what can I do for you? What can I learn from you? These were two magic questions that I was taught to ask. And the answer might be very surprising. What can I do for you? I went on a journey once to ask my spirit guide that, and he immediately said, give up caffeine. And I was like, what? No, I don't need to do that. Can I do something else? And he was like, no, give up caffeine. So I did. And at that point, I was drinking 6 cups of tea a day, working in London. That is, you don't have breaks, you have tea breaks. So that was quite challenging. But it did actually help my shamanic vision. And that was one of the most surprising answers I got to, what can I do for you? Avoid yes or no questions, should I or should I not? So you will put on a drumming track, find your way to the upper and the lower realms, and good shamanic journeying drumming tracks, you can get them online, you can get them on YouTube, but they have to be shamanic journey drumming tracks. If you have any questions, you can contact me and I will give you a drumming track. They will all have a callback where the drum sound changes, and that's a sign to come back to this reality. And it's very good to write it down straight away. Now, interpretation of a journey is very personal. It's much like interpreting a dream. So, it's very good to write it all down and let it sit for a while, and sometimes days, weeks, months later, the true meaning becomes clear. Don't take it too seriously. Don't take it too literally. But enjoy it. Have fun. And through this practice, you can learn to meet your spirit guides. You can develop a relationship with them. As time goes on, you might be able to talk to them outside of the shamanic journey. And some of you may already be speaking to your spirit guides, and that's amazing. But this is kind of a different way. It's really, really lovely. So we're going to go to the lower world for the first journey. It's often the easiest journey for most people. We'll be finding our power animal. Power animals are, in simplest terms, our spirit helpers who appear as animals. They're your guardian and protector and your helper. They increase your health and personal power. You can ask them for guidance, which is why they're often called animal spirit guides. The native belief is that one animal chooses you, and the animal that does is a reflection of your soul and your unique abilities, your medicine. They feel very safe, very warm and welcoming, like coming home. Now, in order to go to the lower world, we must travel through the earth. So I'm going to play a drum beat and narrate this journey for you. This journey traveling to the center of the lower world. I'd like you to get comfortable. Now, if you're driving a car or, you know, operating machinery, don't do this journey because the whole point of it is to put you into a trance state. But if you're ready to go on this shamanic journey, to meet your power animal, then get yourself in a comfortable position, close your eyes, start taking some very deep breaths in and out, in and out, and as you're breathing, I call on all of the spirits who love and look after the people, those who are known to us and those who are not known to us, to come and make a bubble of love and light over your space, to ensure that everything that happens to you in this journey is for your highest and best good. I call on all of our spirit protectors, power animals, our personal guides, ascended masters, the divine light beings and angels, our ancestors who are well in spirit, and ourself as an ascended master to help us with this journey. I give thanks to Mother Earth for the grounding, to Father Sky for the protection, and I call in the four directions, east, south, west, and north, and the center where everything meets. To imagine that you're standing in front of a beautiful tree, very, very wide, and in the center of the tree there's a door. comfortable and cozy. It's a place of refuge. And I'd like you to think, if you entered this tree carrying a burden, a thought, an emotion, just set it down. Imagine maybe you're carrying a heavy backpack, just set that down on the floor here. That feels better, you feel lighter, and now you can journey on. You'll see at the back of the tree is another doorway, and this doorway opens into a passageway leading down through the earth. An animal coming towards you. body, you feel a warm, welcoming sensation. Thank you. Journey. Quite often journeys are done without any narration, but I find it's very, very helpful for the first journey to listen to a guided version of it. If you like shamanic journeying, I will be running a monthly shamanic journeying course. Right now the date is tentatively set for the end of May. Kind of a group. We'll be doing lots and lots of different journeys and talking about it together, which is a wonderful way to share and deepen your experience. To find out and put yourself on the waiting list, you can go to my website, brightshaman.com/events. I also do this kind of work privately and for one-on-one clients, and I really, really love to channel shamanic journeys direct from spirit for everyone for different purposes. Of course, you don't have to do shamanic journeying with me. There are many books and guides online. If you're interested in a book, I really recommend Sandra Ingerman's shamanic journeying book. It also comes with a journey track. She's a really wonderful core shamanic teacher and author, and any of her books on shamanism, I really do recommend them. So just to wrap that up, shamanic journeying is something that everyone can learn to do because it's really our birthright. Our brains are hardwired to be able to access spirit, but normally we need to use a meditative technique such as drumming or rattling or a guided meditation to help us get there. Now, maybe if you listen to that journey, you might not have been able to see anything. Maybe it didn't work for you, but it will work. So if you had a slightly discouraging experience, I just encourage you to keep trying and to try different ways of shamanic journeying. Some people need to move. I know a lady whose shamanic journeying is done only through dance. So perhaps you can't just lie there and listen to someone talking or listen to drumming. Maybe you need to move your body. Maybe your shamanic journeying, your information will come through touch. The spirit world communicates with us in an innumerable number, many ways. There are many ways for spirit to communicate and many ways for us to receive that communication. So if you're not having a traditional sort of dreamlike experience or like remembering a dream, which is how it is for me, I feel like I'm remembering a dream when I'm in a journey as I experience it. If you're not having that experience, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't do this, because you really, really can. It's such an amazing experience. So I hope that that was really helpful. I hope that that was interesting. I have many, many, many more journeys that I can do. We can journey to the upper world, there are journeys to your own heart space, you can do healing journeys, you can journey to your ancestors for ancestral healing. When you start working in the middle world, there are many more things you can journey for healing the earth. You can journey to a specific tree, you can even journey to find lost objects, or try and diagnose problems. It's an amazing tool. I hope that was really very helpful to let you know about shamanic journeying. If you'd like to get in touch, my email address is iris@brightshaman.com. My website is brightshaman.com. There's a link in the shameless self-promotion for a 20-minute free session, so please don't hesitate. I would love to hear from you, to answer any questions, to talk to you, or to work with you. Thank you very much, and have a beautiful and blessed day. Bye now.